I'm a physician, and I'm involved in a fight to stop a pipeline that Governor Christie wants through the Pine Lands to repower the oldest coal-burning power plant in the state of New Jersey, BL England. And I did some research, and I have some friends that are involved with epidemiology. There's a real concern that the ultrafine particles are, in fact, more dangerous than the larger-sized particles emitted when burning coal.
PM 2.5.
And this is a case of leaping before looking, because the children are the most vulnerable with the emissions from burning frac gas, potentially. And I really believe that's so. Is there any research to bring out the actual health impacts of ultrafine particles? That's what I've been trying to bring
up. Absolutely. There's research.
Do you have that resource for me? Because that's something we're trying to stop this pipeline through our pine lands, and then we are downwind in Ocean City from the emissions of this. And the EIA is the one in their earlier report talked about this being a real potential danger. Yes.
Do you want to answer that?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. I spoke to Barbara Aradell at the National Citizen. She's the director there. And I do have links for some of the studies, but it is, number one, it's not measured, it's not been acknowledged, it's not something that we constantly know about, but she told me that definitely it is dangerous. And if you give me your email, I can forward it.
Oh, no. Yeah, how about up? Can you put it up?
For everybody.
I don't have it here with me.
No, I mean on your site, can you?
I will, yes, that would be a great thing. Go to the Damascus Citizen site, we'll have it put up. There's also, on the Damascus Citizen site, I believe it's still on the front page because we've also been doing a climate change thing. There is a compendium that Larissa Derska, Sandra Steingraber, and Kathy Nolan have put together a 70-page document. It's called a compendium that includes all of the health impacts that they've had studied from natural gas use and fossil fuel, all the soup to nuts of the
That's from the shale gas extraction, but not from the burning.
Well, it'll include as much as they possibly have available, and it's a very big study. And so you may be able to find some things about that there as well.
Because where the fracking is, we know about the defects to the children born and so on and so forth. But the big black hole is really...
No, this is a very good point, and it's something that has not been addressed.
I know.
It hasn't been addressed. It isn't measured.
We don't even have a good method. Now you're asking
the
numbers on what happened.
And is it
2.5 of what?
Is that, if we get the microns, is that going to be a good monitor?
The government regulated PM 2.5 some years ago based on a number of studies, EPA. But the more we find out about risk, the more we find out that lower and lower numbers can present risk to children. I totally agree with him.
It's the same PR firm that did the tobacco things, I found out.
Yes. Yellen Dalton.
Yeah, they're the fellows. Mm-hmm.
This work has been done in Seattle and around a group of physicians led by Frank James. He's come to Canada, I'm a Canadian, and he's made given talks on this particular thing, right? So,
do you know the group?
Does he have some conclusions about
I can find the stuff on my... And if you give me your email,
I will. Thank you.
Send it to Damascus. I haven't.
Could I? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Awesome. You need the center.
Because this seems to be a good way to fight this bringing to reef retrofit, coal burning power plants and other kinds of with this clean energy.
NRG just announced that they're going to comply to the EPA carbon rules by closing one coal plant down, switching to frac gas on another. So it is definitely happening already.
Oh, I know.
They're implementing this.
And even right now, they're as you all know, they're programs to switch people on to using natural gas fired or gas heaters in their homes. You get incentives for doing that. And so, like when you talk about that picture right there, the answer should not be fix the leaks. It should be cut off the supply and do something different.
So
that's going to be a problem because the energy has the
money and they can. They can push it through, and they continue to do it.
If you might be using natural gas, you should plug these leaks. But the answer really needs to be
don't have this network, don't rely on this network for your home heating.
One of the appeals would we have to walk away from it. There's no choice, but we have to walk away from it. We have a very short relationship with fossil fuels and mankind's in recorded history, thousands of years, a couple of hundred years of fossil fuels. We can switch. We have the alternatives.
Can we talk about the shale gas, peak shale gas, because this is really important right now. You know, TransCanada and Canada and everything, they're selling the switch to frac gas because it's reliable and we have so much available. But what's the reality? Is peak shale gas really 2017?
This is a question that Bryce should answer.
Yeah. Not really, but I'll give it a try.
Oh.
The issue of peak shale gas is a bit loaded because no matter what you do, you get to the same result. The fact of the matter is that a lot of these shale gas wells will peak relatively quickly, and they all do. I mean, just the record is there. The thing of it is, though, is that they can then go back in and refrack. And they can refrack and re-stimulate that well. And each stimulation is a little less effective than the ones before. So the idea of peak in 2017, they're drilling more wells all the time. Peak in terms of all the shale gas, probably not. Probably not 2017. They can go longer. There's plenty of shale out there that hasn't been fracked yet. The difficulty is that from my perspective, the more fracking that's done, you can't unfrack this stuff. Once it's done, it's done. And there's no going back. And let's say even a small percentage of these wells, the fracking causes a connection between natural geological pathways and the surface in the frack zone. From that point forward, that pocket of gas is a pocket of gas that now is connected directly to the surface, or even indirectly to the surface. Doesn't matter. The methane is coming up. So when you get to the peak, I don't know. Let's say 150 years from now. The problem is that peak can't be stopped.
We won't be here.
We won't be here, which is another point.
Our species will not be here.
It is the children.
It is the children.
Stop talking about yourselves.
He's talking about the entity.
There's a woman named Deborah Rogers, who's an analyst who has done a lot of study and has a lot of reports on these. Deborah Rogers. If you look up her website, you will see her discussions of depletion rates. And there was a talk that she did here in New York about 6 months ago that talked about that. And, like, for example, I know that there's a county in Pennsylvania that has actually stopped doing wells there. I'll remember the name of it in a minute. But it was, they keep saying that, maybe it's 6 years, maybe it's 10 years. Even though, the government has been saying it's 100 years.
Well, it becomes a lot less, too, when you decide, as a matter of as federal public policy, that the best thing to do is to ship it out of the country or deplete your own resources and ship it overseas.
Well, they're trying to do that, yeah. But if we run out of things and we've had contracts with these other countries, this is going to make it a whole lot more messy. Susan?
One question about the... methane is being quantity emitted by the swamps that are under from the permafrost.
Okay, so that's a great question. The tundra. Once this process starts going, and it has started, right, and again, we are responsible for it. The tundra is going to start emitting a lot more methane. We won't be able to stop that. And so we shouldn't be having a discussion about how much gas or oil or coal we have left. We can't use it. Even if they find 100 years, 500 years, we can't afford to burn it. So let's change now before we do more damage to our precious resource, the planet. There's no plan B. We only have one place we can live. So it doesn't matter if they found a 10 years coal, 50 years, 100 years old, peak oil. None of that matters because we can't use it. And what we ought to be doing is keeping it in the ground. Now, whether it costs resources, whether we've got to pay states to transition places that are, and states that are cutting down trees, whether we need to pay them, whether we need to do a national assessment of our natural resources to figure out what we need to keep for the future, but we can't use all the fossil fuels they can find under the Arctic Circle or anywhere else.
Is there any?
Excuse me, we have another question. Yes. I just wanted to follow up with this methane thing. Aren't we in a race with CO2 that's going to melt the ice caps and create this methane?
There's what's called a potential positive feedback with methane. And that is if the temperature climbs too much, or if the heat distribution because of the temperature climb is such that you heat the Arctic, permafrost melts, and conceivably you could cause ocean currents to start decomposing methane, called methane hydrates, in the bottom of cold waters.
Yeah.
If those things happen, it's Katie bar the door. Nobody knows when it's going to stop. Because once the methane starts rolling out, somebody was going to ask earlier about how you decompose methane in the atmosphere. Once the methane starts rolling out, it overwhelms the ability of the atmosphere to decompose it. And so then it just accumulates faster and faster and heats more and more, and it just goes on and on. Once you lose control, you can't get it back.
Can you say something about the acidification of the ocean, too, because that's a part of this?
So it's related.
Is this starting to happen? Yes, it is.
It is starting to happen.
And so we're in a race to what?
I think you're asking a perfectly reasonable question. My heart of hearts, my opinion is prepare the children. Just prepare the children.
For death?
No. I don't think this is gonna be the end of mankind. I think this is gonna be a transition from one
happened before.
From one cultural notion to a completely new one, and it may not be nice. Probably won't be. An issue that's going on with a two degree C average global temperature change, we're talking substantial agricultural impact. Food production is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Our food production right now is utterly dependent on fossil fuels. If you try to cut fossil fuels out of agriculture, our agricultural production can drop substantially because we're very dependent on fertilizers, and they all require fossil fuels, in particular our use of nitrogen. The thing is going to unfold, and I hope very much that my perception is wrong. I would love for shale gas to be something that we could use and have all of the benefits that are claimed for it. It's just that what I see says it's not the case.
In the far back.
The woman in the red shirt.
I just wanted to point out that when we talk about, to me, the importance of the whole idea of the peaking and the... I've read things that suggest they're lying pretty hard about how much shale gas there is.
Yeah.
The thing is, if we are going to stop burning huge amounts of natural gas in our houses, then we have to start doing those passive houses, and we have to start doing it on all of them now. We have to retrofit with them. We have to stop burning the fossil fuels for electricity. When I moved to West Virginia almost 40 years ago, I lived for 2 years without electricity. I used kerosene lamps for light. Kerosene lamps suck. They stink. They have these, you're always having to adjust the wicks or they burn off.
And they burn fossil fuel.
And they burn fossil fuel, so they will run out and they're a fire hazard. Now, I still live in West Virginia. We have 4 solar panels that provide all our electricity. And we use 3 kilowatt hours a day, more or less. That's 10% of the U.S. average. And you know what? I think we live pretty well. I think we could all cut down to half overnight. I think we could cut a whole lot more down. But if we don't start using the fossil fuels to build out the infrastructure, to create that insulation, to create all the other materials for the passive houses, to build the solar panels and the windmills and the batteries, then we will be burning candles. Because the windmills and the solar panels that exist now will not be able to pick up the slack to create new windmills and solar panels if they're expected to do what they were doing and pick up the slack of the fossil fuels when they dwindle. So we have to make the conversion now, or it's back to horses
and cows. Which gets back to the question of why try to do anything with methane? Methane is a minor component of the whole thing. What only working very hard on methane slows the curve down. Only briefly. Let's say it takes 20 years to bring methane under the highest level of control we can get. Let's say we cut it by 80% in 20 years. There's no place else to go on methane after that. In that 20-year period of time, you better have brought CO2 down. You better have used those 20 years to do what has to be done with the CO2. Because if you don't, you've frittered the whole thing away. That little curve in the benefit of methane in the beginning will be gone. But it's the only thing out there that I see right now that's offering any ray of hope.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Bob, you had
mentioned
conservation, and the way that we change the society when we think of smoking and seatbelts, and that we really got these major changes, was a lot of getting this information to school. And so there's a movie that's going to be shown, at least a little clip of it, at the 2:15 called Dreaming and Dreams, about these kids who, in middle school, did an energy audit of their school, and they saved their school $53,000 in energy bills. And so, you know, the idea is, you're talking about children, getting this into all the schools where the kids are learning about what you're doing. That should be part of the curriculum, right? And I wonder, is any of this, do you know of any of what you're working on that is part of the curriculum? And if you do, I'm the producer of these movies, Young Voices on the Planet. You can watch them online. But we're incorporating these stories that get into all the schools. And can make this happen through the kids bugging their parents?
Great.
Any other questions?
I was curious, they were talking about the methane study and methane leakage, and they didn't say, something was said about the Arctic methane leakage there. Could you, because they said we haven't quantified it yet. Could you
they do quantify it.
Do you know anything about it? You know, about permafrost, is like, that is a minimal concern.
Well, what's actually going on right now is the current data says that currently the Arctic is not a source. It doesn't say the Arctic is not going to be a source. The current sources appear to be tropical wetland and fossil fuels and basically North America and Russia. That's where it's all coming from.
How about the most recent finding of the big crater in the where methane is massively increased in
Arctic methane emergency.
The problem with those is it's just like these. When you get a massive burp of methane, if you're not there when the burp happens, right.